PESCO is not the first step towards a common European army. People I interviewed and documents I read on this seem to take pains to avoid mentioning this possibility. PESCO is by all accounts a structure that must facilitate cooperation between the different national armies. So it would, for instance, strengthen cooperation when it comes to procurement or common projects, such as getting rid of underwater mines. And in total, the member states have put forward some 50 projects that they want to develop in terms of security and defense cooperation. Dick Zonday, a security specialist with the Klingendaal Institute in The Hague in the Netherlands, says that the difference between the existing security cooperation, the EU Common Security and Defense Policy, is that this PESCO is a legal framework.
Therefore, all the commitments that member states have signed up to on Monday can be, to a certain extent, enforced. Not by a system of punishment or by going to the European Court, all of that will not be possible, but the central office, so to say, which is the High Representative doing the secretariat work, can raise a yellow card when a member state is no longer fulfilling its commitment. And that, of course, is then a warning to take further action to go back to the path and realize the commitments that one has signed up to.
Now, Federica Mogherini, the EU Commissioner, was happy that PESCO was signed, but not all member states have signed until now.
This is the first time that provision of the Lisbon Treaty, that the Treaty of the European Union is used. So it's quite an historic day. And this is not only the result of hard common work that was just inconceivable one year and a half ago, even 6 months ago.
Out of the 27 member states, not counting the UK anymore, four did not sign: Ireland, Portugal, Malta and Denmark. Ireland is concerned that its neutrality may be at stake, but since there is an opting out clause, it will be likely that it may sign in a later stage. And in Portugal, there's a domestic political issue. There, the Socialist Party rules with the parliamentary support of the Communists, and that party has always been fiercely against Portugal being part of any European-level defence cooperation. Portugal did not yet sign, but the Socialist Party leads the pack and they will go ahead with the signing. This is Ana Maria Gomes, who is in Brussels for the Socialist Bloc.
This is the normal position of the Communist Party. They've been always against any initiative of the EU on security and defence, but that is not the position of the Socialist Party. And indeed, the current government is a government by the Socialist Party, although with the parliamentary support of these other two parties. And often in many in different issues, they have agreed to disagree. So the Socialist Party has moved forward with its own line. And obviously in the question of security and defence, we have always been at the heart of any initiative on security and defence.
So what are the specific reasons that in spite of some hesitation, a vast majority of EU member states goes for this level of security and defence cooperation? Brexit, the fact that the UK is leaving the Union. But first and foremost, it was the international security situation, says Dick Zonday of the Klingendaal Institute.
The Russian annexation of the Crimea and the Russian involvement in eastern Ukraine, plus the whole affair with Islamic State in the Middle East, are major changes of the international security environment that are the absolutely most important driving force behind the creation of PESCO. But of course, Brexit has made it easier to have this all accepted in Brussels.
The formal decision will be taken in the European Council in December, and it will be done by qualified majority, so even if the Brits would vote against it, it would still be accepted in the Council. The PESCO agreement commits countries to increase the defence budgets and devoting 20% of defence spending to procurement and 2% on research and technology.